Women have been giving birth for centuries, so it's a pretty natural experience, right? Wrong. I'm Stephanie King, professional doula, childbirth educator, and the creator of the My Essential Birth course, the online childbirth education course that's helping women everywhere confidently achieve their best birth. Today's culture would have us think that birth should be treated like an illness or an emergency, and that most of us need other people telling us what's best for our bodies because we aren't the experts. So sit tight, because if you're tuning into this podcast, you'll probably start to believe in your body, your intuition, and find yourself empowered and confident to do what it takes to have the birth of your dreams. If you like listening to me take you through these weekly topics step by step, then you're going to love the My Essential Birth course. Make sure that you're subscribed to the podcast and definitely head over to myessentialbirth.com for the free downloads mentioned right here in these episodes and to join the birth course and community full of pregnant moms just like you. I have to add a disclaimer that I am not a medical professional and I cannot provide medical advice. All of the information expressed in this podcast are based off of personal, professional, and educational experiences and are my own opinions. Please work with a provider you trust for medical advice during your pregnancy and birth. All right, ladies, here is our reviewer of the week. It is Ashley Worley, and she says, game changer for a first birth. I discovered the podcast thanks to a friend who passed it along. I am pregnant with our first and was looking for something both positive and education. I've voraciously been diving into episodes and feel exponentially more confident than I did just weeks ago about our decision for an unmedicated birthplace birth. Stephanie has been incredibly helpful in helping me learn all things birth and prepping and planning, now putting into action, daily stretches, relaxation, and completing my birth plan. Now to dive into birth stories, and we pray and imagine our dream birth knowing it's all in God's hands and will be perfect for us. Thank you so much for the content and time to share your legacy-changing information weekly. Thank you, Ashley, for leaving that review. And I hope that as you are listening, you are also getting ready for that postpartum period, which means those of you that are listening today are going to be extremely blessed because I have an incredible guest here that is going to talk to us about baby-led weaning. But more than that, as I spoke with her prior to having her here on the podcast, she's just an incredible woman. She's a mother and she deals with the baby-led weaning stuff. So she's a business owner, but she's also caring about how she's feeding her babies and educating moms on doing the same thing. So with that, I would love, Katie, if you would take a moment and introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about you, your family, your business, and what you do.
Sure. Hi, Stephanie. Thank you so much for having me. I'm a registered dietitian. I'm a mom of 7 children. And like a lot of parents, I struggled a lot with spoon feeding my oldest daughter. And I think she hated being spoon fed. And there were times where I felt like she actually hated me. She hated food. And I felt like such a failure as a parent because, you know, what sort of mom can't feed her own baby? And what sort of dietitian mom at that? So at the height of our feeding frustration, my husband and I found out that we were pregnant with quadruplets. And we had been doing fertility treatment, so we knew the possibility for multiples was there, but we definitely were not expecting 4 babies at once. And I remember the first time I saw them on the ultrasound, I was so stressed about our oldest daughter, Molly, at home not eating. I remember thinking, like, how am I going to feed 4 babies at once when I can't even feed the one baby that I have at home? So fast forward, I ended up giving birth to quadruplets at 34 weeks. Average gestation for quads is 28 weeks. With a 50% chance of major handicap. So we were really, really, wow, really scared. So being able to go 34 weeks was a miracle. And they were in the NICU for a while. And while we were there, friends would come and visit and help feed the babies. And I remember just like whining about Molly, our oldest, at home not eating. And a colleague who was a dietitian said, well, why don't you do baby-led weaning? And I said, like, baby linguine? What are you talking about? I've never heard of this. I'm also a college nutrition professor, though. And so thankfully, I had some feeding colleagues who were like, no, baby-led weaning is a real evidence-based approach to starting solid foods where your babies learn how to eat real, safe, wholesome foods that their parents prepare beginning at 6 months of age. So you totally bypass the forced spoon feeding and the picky eating and the mealtime meltdowns. And I was like, this sounds like a dream come true. So when the quads were 6 months adjusted age, we kind of went whole hog into baby-led weaning. And I have to say it was such a transformative experience for our entire family that I ended up shifting the focus of my nutrition career to exclusively work in the baby-led weaning realm. And I've been doing that now for my quads just turned 7. So it's been 6.5 years that we've been all in on baby-led weaning. When they were 18 months, my husband and I, we had another set of twins. We had wanted like one more. We got twins. It's all fertility. Oh. And thanks to the miracle of modern medicine, we had 7 children aged 3 and under for a while. So it was totally crazy, but I would say, as crazy as household and life, et cetera, was, baby-led weaning was so beneficial and such a blessing because it allowed us to eliminate so many of the hassles associated with feeding kids. And as challenging as that many kids is, one thing I would say we don't struggle with in our household is feeding. And I'm very grateful that they eat all the food that I prepare for them. And I have baby-led weaning to thank for that. So now I run the largest digital community dedicated solely to baby-led weaning. I offer digital programs. We teach workshops. I educate other healthcare practitioners and daycare providers. And I host a top-rated parenting podcast called Baby-Led Weaning Made Easy. So very similar in title to your space there. But I just love teaching parents about how to help their babies get a safe start to solid foods using baby-led weaning. And we do that through a program called our 100 First Foods program. So in 2016, I created the original 100 First Foods program where we help babies eat 100 safe baby-led weaning foods before they turn one. And that's tied into a lot of research about the benefits of diet diversity. You know, with traditional spoon feeding, babies might only have 10 or 12 foods by the time they turn one. But if your baby has 100 foods and then you lose a few of those to picky eating, it's not really a big deal because you still have like 85 or 90 foods your baby will eat. So it's really a way to help reduce the severity of picky eating, increase diet diversity, lower food allergy risk, and just stop the mealtime battles and short order cooking, which be a real pain point for families of with small children.
Yeah. So can I ask what you did prior or what you find that moms come to you like when they're struggling, what are they doing different to what you just described?
I think what a lot of parents are doing is what I myself did. I mean, even as a dietitian, I teach college nutrition, nutrition throughout the life cycle. Even to this day, we learn about start solid foods by spoon feeding white rice cereal at 4 to 6 months. Well, that's a very problematic statement because first of all, 4 to 6 months is a massive gap, right? Your baby at 4 months versus your baby at 6 months. At 6 months of age, there's 50% more of their life. Those 2 months are hugely important for baby's development, particularly with regards to sitting independently and exerting head control, all of which are tied to facilitating a safe swallow. So, you know, in the breastfeeding world, we know World Health Organization, American Pediatric Association all recommend exclusive breastfeeding until 6 months of age. Why then are there still guidelines that say start solid foods at 4 months? Your baby doesn't need anything except infant milk, breast milk or formula until they're 6 months of age. And I know parents get pressure from their pediatrician or from their mother-in-law or from their friends. Oh, that baby's ready to start solid foods. If your baby's not 6 months of age or 6 months adjusted age, if born prematurely and sitting on their own relatively independently, your baby's not ready to start solid foods. So I'd say the number one mistake I see parents doing is feeling that pressure to start solids too early, which is A, not necessary from a nutritional standpoint, and B, dangerous from a developmental and safe swallow standpoint. So waiting, it's always more fun and a lot safer to wait until your baby is really ready to start solid foods.
Yeah, I love that. And I am the guilty, like I definitely did the spoon feeding until my third baby. And I didn't use baby led weaning, I mean, until we were like much closer to a year old. So, and I saw the benefits. And I mean, like night and day, you're like, why did I torture myself the last however many years I have been doing this? You know, I've got to bake the vegetable and get it all ready and puree it and use the special spoon and all the things, rather than letting your baby kind of, you know, work through those things by themselves. So can you tell us a little bit about why somebody might choose the baby-led weaning over the spoon feeding for their baby and for the ease for mom?
So what you just described is very similar to what we hear from a lot of parents, is that baby-led weaning, interestingly enough, is one of the few things that appeals to second-time parents, right? A first-time parent, and no offense to those of you who just did this, but like you'll sign up for everything. You'll put everything on your baby registry. You're like game for anything that might make your life easier. And then after you actually have the baby, you realize like, huh, a lot of that stuff I really didn't need. And yet, a lot of times what we're dealing with when our parents become, moms become pregnant for the second time or they have subsequent children, they're like, okay, I don't need a lot of the stuff that's out there in the baby world. But one thing I would like is a solution to this picky eating problem that I'm having with my toddler. And while there's certainly no way to 100% prevent picky eating, we do have research that shows us that a baby-led approach to starting solid foods can help reduce the severity of picky eating. Because picky eating is a natural tendency. It's developmentally appropriate for your toddler to exhibit food neophobia, fear of new foods, or to have restrictive eating patterns. Sometimes parents are like, I'm a bad parent because my toddler's a picky eater. No, you're a parent and you have a toddler. Ergo, you have a picky eater. But the degree of the picky eating is something that we can mitigate. And that's what baby-led weaning helps with. So we see a lot of parents are like, huh, I'll give this a try because A, it's easier to only make one meal for the family and slightly modify it for the baby versus totally different foods. B, it's cheaper. You know, those pouches, which are just oftentimes pureed fruits with, you know, their parents will say, oh, my baby's eating kale from a pouch. No, they're not. They're eating some kale that's lathered in pear puree or apple puree, thus masking the flavor of the actual food kale. We have lots of ways that you could make real food safe for your baby. You don't have to go spend $3 or $4 a pouch. So I would argue not only is it cheaper, not only is it something that's easier because you're only cooking once, it's more developmentally appropriate. We actually have data that shows us that the babies that are at elevated risk of choking are those who've had the least amount of practice with finger foods. And while purees are an important texture for your baby to master, it's not the only texture your baby can eat. So we start families out really pushing their baby's palate and trying out some of those trickier textures within the first few weeks of baby-led weaning.
So what does that look like for a mom that has like a 6-month-old and she's introducing something? What are some of those first things that you recommend be introduced and how do they get introduced? How does the baby use them? What does mom have to do to prepare it?
Well, that's a wonderful question. And we see a lot of families getting really gung-ho about baby-led weaning right out of the gate. They do the simple starter foods like avocado, banana, and sweet potato. And those foods are fine for the first few days. But what happens is they tend to get stuck. And so one thing we found that really helps parents kind of map out the foods that they're going to eat is by utilizing, I have 100 first foods list. So this is a free list of 100 different foods over 5 different categories that your baby can eat beginning in the first week of baby-led weaning. The goal being to get your baby to eat these 100 foods before they turn one. So we follow my 5-step feeding framework where we introduce 5 new foods per week. So on Monday, we do a new fruit. On Tuesday, we do a new vegetable. On Wednesday, we do a new starchy food. On Thursday, a new protein. And on Friday, we do a potentially allergenic food. And you do 5 new foods a week, perfectly safe to introduce 1 or even more new food per day. Sometimes parents will be like, well, my doctor told me I need to wait 3 to 5 days between foods. That's very, very outdated information. If your baby is going to have an allergic reaction to food, the vast majority of those reactions are going to occur within minutes and up to no more than 2 hours following ingestion. So it's not like you feed your baby polenta, okay, a way to introduce a whole grain cornmeal. And then 4 days later, the diaper's weird and you're like, oh my God, they're allergic to corn. Like it doesn't work like that. And so too often we're going way, way too slow with regards to introduction of new foods. So we start our families right out week 1, 5 new foods, week 2, 5 new foods. In 1 month, your baby's tried 20 new foods. In 5 months, your baby's tried 100 different foods and you're well on your way to helping raise an independent eater who will like and accept a wide variety of foods. Because we've got this flavor window where babies will accept different foods and flavors and tastes and textures, but it doesn't extend into toddlerhood. You've got to do the work in that 6 to 12 month period. But I always tell parents, you're going to have to feed this child for the next 17 and a half years of its life. You might as well do the work now to help establish that healthy foundation with food by offering a wide variety of foods. And we show you how to make those foods from the 100 first foods list safely.
I love that. Yeah, I think that's so useful, especially when you're talking about this picky eating thing. I have some picky eaters and it wasn't until my third baby that I was like, it's not me. Like, you know, there's some things going on. And to hear that I could have had some, you know, some way to be able to help, to support, to encourage my baby to not be that way or to be more interested in more foods. I mean,
is your third baby more adventurous than the other two, the older two?
In some ways, yeah, that's pretty true. But also I had 2 kids before him and I think I was like tired. And the first thing that baby tried, and he was ready at 6 months. He was the baby that like you're holding him and his mouth goes open as you lift your spoon to your own mouth, you know? Uh-huh. But the first thing he tried was like curry chicken, you know, that's what I had. I was like, I'm just going to give him a little taste. He's so interested. And he ate it up. He didn't spit it out. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then he just ate everything I gave him afterwards, you know?
So, exactly. And you didn't have to stress about making different foods or pureeing them or putting them on a spoon. It's the baby reaching for the food, which at 6 months of age, they can do and they're safe to start swallowing foods besides infant milk.
Yeah, I love that. I wish it was something that I had with baby 1 and 2 or realized that earlier on. As you're talking about all this, and it's making me think, you know, if you've got all of these foods, say in those first 30 days, you know, they've tried, you said, so that would be 5 different foods a week. So they've got those 20 different foods, even within those first 30 days. What does that look like moving forward? So you're just, is it an opportunity for you to introduce all the things so that no matter what, you're making baby eats it, or you're finding the foods that they like and you're encouraging more of those. What is the goal?
Well, that's a great question. It's kind of a combination of the both. So our goal is with introducing one new food a day is that we're moving baby along that continuum of increasing the variety of foods and flavors and tastes and textures that they see. So you're naturally going to be offering a mix of some high iron foods and then some vitamin C foods, which helps the baby absorb the iron, and then some allergenic foods, because we have to get those allergenic food proteins into the baby, because we have research that shows us that's the best way to help prevent food allergy down the road. So as we do one new food a day, that's not the only food your baby eats. I generally take the 20-minute meal. Most babies can sit in the high chair for about 20 minutes. The first 10 minutes of the meal, I'll introduce the new single food of the day on its own, prepared safely. We generally cut foods about the size of the adult pinky finger in soft strips or spears, put them into a suction mat or bowl. Even your earliest eaters use their whole hand or their palm or grasp to rake or scoop that food up and into their mouth. There's not a whole lot of eating happening early on, but babies need lots and lots of time to learn how to eat, right? We say sometimes a baby may need to see a food 10 or 15 times before they like or accept it. It's not like you do broccoli and you're like, oh, they didn't like it. I got to put like nacho cheese all over it in the future to, you know, hide it or make them eat it. But then what I'll do for the second half of the meal is I'll swap in a plate that has two familiar foods from the previous days and then the new food from today as well. So you have leftover sweet potatoes, or maybe you made some pork carnitas and you took some portions out without salt in it for the baby. And you bring those two familiar foods from previous days back, and maybe the new food of the day is egg, the allergenic food. So you put those three foods on the plate for the second 10 minutes of the meal. And now the baby is being exposed to familiar foods from the previous days and yet being reintroduced to that new food, egg of the day. So in that way, you're moving forward with the new foods, but you're continuing to reintroduce and expose the baby to familiar foods, which again, all kind of works in unison to help reduce the severity and risk of picky eating, increase the types of flavors and foods and textures that the baby can eat, lower the risk of food allergy, and you're incorporating foods that hopefully the rest of your family is eating. We always say, you mentioned the chicken curry. You know, babies don't have to eat bland food. We do recommend minimizing the amount of salt, having no added sugars, and then not serving super spicy foods that could be injurious to your baby's health. But other than that, definitely season away. You know, your baby's already been exposed to flavors. Now, when you're pregnant, through the amniotic fluid, the foods that you eat, those flavor compounds are transferred. When you're breastfeeding, we know that flavors transfer through mother's milk. So it's not like you have to serve these super boring, bland foods to your baby, right? Babies in Ethiopia eat Ethiopian foods. Babies in Nepal eat Nepalese foods. And you should and can season the foods according to your food culture that you want your child to grow up learning how to like, just like the rest of your family does.
I'm so glad you mentioned that was going to be my next question, because yeah, I definitely, when we're learning to feed our babies, it's like steam the vegetable, or, you know, and no salt and all the, then make it as bland as
like
possible.
Gross. Yeah. Again, and then we're shocked when they don't like pureed plain peas. I mean, if you like pureed plain peas, fine, go for it. But I think a lot of times, you know, this whole idea of commercial baby food, it's really only been a commercial construct since the earlier part of the 20th century. I always say to parents, like, what do you think cave mama fed her baby back in the day before there was like an entire aisle at Target full of processed sugary baby food pouches? Like, that is not how children learn how to eat. That's a, you know, we're oftentimes subject to a lot of marketing, right? Like, think about the marketing budget of some of these big baby food companies, and who are essentially training us to think this is how we feed our kids, when in reality, that third baby sitting on your lap grabbing the chicken curry and they're safe to start solid foods. And that's how they learn how to eat with real food.
Yeah. You know what saved me actually from feeding my baby those processed foods that were on the shelves there was the financial part of it. When we were first married and I'm like, you want me to spend, it was like over $1 for this little jar of baby food that said it was like mashed bananas. And I'm like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, when bananas are like 19 cents a pound. Exactly. Right? No. And the pouches today, we sometimes have families that the pouches will cost $3 and $4 for what is essentially green flavored applesauce. And parents are buying two or three of these a day. So sometimes spending upwards of $10 to $15 on pouches. And that's not even close to nutritionally complete for your baby. And so we advise parents, you don't need to buy those foods. And sometimes parents, they just want that permission. Wait, it's okay for me to feed my baby real food? Like, what does the world come to where you have to be like, yes, it's totally okay for you to feed your baby real food, but it is. There's nothing magical in those pouches. And actually, the pouches are developmentally inappropriate. There's no feeding milestone that requires your baby to suck out of a hard plastic lid. They're environmentally damaging. None of those are recyclable. Those plastic caps, they all end up in landfills. They're nutritionally incomplete. You can serve your baby soft strips of banana and save your money for buying actual real food that the rest of the family can eat. So you heard it here. You have permission. Do not buy your baby pouches if you choose not to. I think pouches are great in a pinch. They're wonderful for convenience and for travel or if you have absolutely nothing on hand. But as far as being the default baby food, I think we're definitely moving in the wrong direction when parents are saying, oh my gosh, I thought that's just how babies learn how to eat.
Yeah, I think we got a problem all throughout the world right now and like understanding how our food gets to the table, period. So I think it's helpful to hear like you can just take the real food that you're buying for your family and put it in your baby's mouth. That is
an
okay
thing to do. And a lot of times our parents will say like, listen, I don't have the greatest relationship with food and I don't want my child to grow up having the same issues. And this is the first time that like I have to actually make the food. I can't just order in A, because it's getting too expensive, or B, there's too much salt or sugar on that food. And so sometimes parents will come to us and be like, I want to make these 100 foods. I just don't know how. And so that's where our programs come in, where we show you with videos how to prepare the food and recipes for the three different phases of baby-led weaning and how to make the food safe. And oftentimes a secondary impact or effect that parents don't even realize is like, oh my gosh, I'm actually eating better because we're preparing more foods at home. We're doing a variety of foods. We're doing whole grains. We're doing different proteins. The baby's getting those allergenic foods. I'm trying new vegetables I've never had before. So the benefits of baby-led weaning can actually extend back up the family chain as well.
That 100% makes sense. I the healthiest I've ever been is once I started having babies and wanting to feed them well. So I totally get that. And I love that you've got the programs and stuff to do that. I want to talk about that in just a minute, maybe a little bit more in depth. Another question I had, though, and I know moms will have, is how do I know my baby's ready? So you mentioned starting at 6 months. Do you have to start at 6 months? What if you have a baby that may or may not be ready at that time?
So the combination of being at 6 months or 6 months adjusted age. So if your babies were born prematurely, I'll use my example of the quadruplets. They were born at 34 weeks gestation, but that's 6 weeks premature. So we need to wait until their 6 month adjusted age. So when the babies turn 6 months on their birthday, you bet I could hear it in stereo from everyone around me. Oh, those babies need to start eating. No, they don't. They're not 6 months. Chronologically, they're 6 months, but physiologically, they're just like 4.5 month old babies. 4.5 month old babies should not be eating anything except infant milk, breast milk or formula. So we waited an extra 6 weeks. So they were 6 months plus 6 weeks. That was 7.5 months before those babies were actually sitting on their own, relatively independently, exerting the head control that indicates that they're ready to start swallowing something besides infant milk safely. So the adjusted age is very important if your baby is premature. But the sitting on your own, you never see a 5 month old baby full term sitting relatively independently. It's always going to be a little closer to 6 months. And pro tip for most of you, it's going to be after 6 months when your baby is sitting relatively independently. We often see babies that are at 6 months plus 1 week or 2 weeks, sometimes even 6 months plus 3 weeks. It's quite unusual to see a baby, full-term baby at 7 months of age who's not sitting on their own. If that's the case, you should definitely consult with your primary care practitioner to see if perhaps something else is going on. But a lot of times when we do some probing questions, we're like, oh, and how many weeks was your baby born? Once you do the adjustment for prematurity, you know, it's somewhere between the 6 and 7 month mark. But for those parents who might be interested in starting early, always remind parents that there's absolutely no upside to starting solid foods early. And in fact, it actually can increase the risk of choking. So from a nutrition standpoint, we know that infant milk is sufficient to meet your baby's needs up until 6 months of life. You do not need to offer anything. Sometimes parents are, well, I have a big baby. We need to start solid foods early. Or I have a small baby. We need to start solid foods early for catch-up weight. Tons of data that show us that early adoption of solid foods does not help with catch-up weight. Certainly an inappropriate recommendation. If your child has growth faltering, you should be working with a pediatric dietitian to be fortifying the milk. We don't use food to help babies gain weight before they know how to eat food. It makes absolutely no sense. And yet, unfortunately, parents are still getting that message. And many times it's coming from their pediatrician, who perhaps isn't up to speed on the latest evidence-based infant feeding guidelines. So no upside to starting early. And on top of that, increased risk of choking if we're starting solid foods before a baby can sit relatively independently on their own. And for those of you, it's just kind of like figuring out your high chair situation. The most important thing for reducing your baby's risk of choking, in addition to being 6 months of age and sitting on their own, is that you have your baby's feet resting flat on a solid foot plate. So take a look at your high chair. Is there a foot rest? There probably is, but your 6 month-old baby's feet probably don't reach it. So you need to do some DIY adjustments. We always talk about the 3x90 setup. We want your baby's waist at the 90 degree angle, their knees at the 90 degree angle, and their ankles at the 90 degree angle in the high chair. No reclining, right? That's the exact position that could potentially choke a baby. We don't want any dangling feet. We don't want legs sticking straight out. You got to push your baby's bottom forward, get that 90 degree angle at the knee, put some things underneath their feet if there's a gap between the footrest and the bottom of your baby's feet. We see really ingenious things that parents do with like yoga blocks affixed with a bungee cord, or we see them stacking Amazon boxes, or whatever you need to do to get those feet resting flat is very important for facilitating that safe swallow for your baby.
So feet flat has to do with the swallow reflex.
Absolutely.
That's so interesting. I wouldn't have thought of that at all. I had no idea. I learned something today. Thank you. That's really neat. Okay. So you talked about how moms are going to know that baby is ready and how to facilitate that. Is there any other prep work that needs to be done prior to getting going with baby led weaning, other than like you're talking about your 100 first foods and how to prepare it and those kinds of things? But what other prep work, if there's any?
I always recommend that parents take an infant refresher CPR course. So we talk about choking is a very rare but real risk. And there's no data to indicate that babies who start solid foods with a baby led approach are at any higher risk of choking than with traditional spoon feeding. And that's provided the parents are educated about reducing choking risk. So we do a lot of education on safe food preparation, safe high chair positioning in order to lower choking risk. But I know everyone took you or you are taking an infant CPR course ahead of the birth of your baby. But 6 months from now, I mean, you're not going to remember what you had for breakfast that day, let alone the particulars of a CPR course from 6 months ago. So I recommend taking a refresher infant CPR course so that in the event of a choking incident, you would know what to do. There's some really great online ones out there. I take a course from a company called Thrive Training Solutions. I do that every quarter for my own edification, just to get my skills up to snuff. There's some really great online courses if you don't have the opportunity to go in person. The pandemic kind of moved a lot of this stuff online. I used to go in person all the time, but now I do my refresher stuff online. But I think that that's important. The education piece is really key. If you're worried about choking or nutrient gaps or growth faltering, educating yourself about how to safely prepare foods, how to sequence the foods, how to build a balanced baby-led weaning plate. These things can all help inspire confidence in your baby's ability to get the nutrition they need from food. And just a heads up, it doesn't happen right at 6 months of age, right? You are lucky because you get like a 6 month practice period from 6 to 12 months of age where your baby gets lots of time to learn how to eat. Because what we're ultimately moving from is at 6 months of age, 100% of your baby's nutrition is coming from infant milk. And at 12 months of age, most of your baby's nutrition should be coming from food. So you've got this 6 month practice period, but you know, babies don't magically wake up on their first birthday and know how to eat 100 foods. It's on you, the parent, to be putting that practice in, which sounds like a lot of work. But again, for the next 17 and a half years of your life, it's going to benefit you in the sense that your child will eat a great variety of foods that will help meet their nutrient needs, lower their risk of food allergy and picky eating.
Yeah. I am curious. So you've got these babies 6 to 12 months. Say that a mom finds this podcast episode and she's got a baby that's 9 months or even past that 12 month mark. What kind of information, what do you say to her?
It's never too late to make the switch to eating more real foods. We think that the protective window for food allergy prevention closes at around 11 months of age. If anything, prioritize those allergenic foods. Your baby needs to be exposed to allergenic foods early and often. You do not need to buy expensive supplement stick pack programs that tell you you mix the allergens in with your bottle or into other purees. Your baby can learn how to eat safe food-based versions of these allergenic foods in order to reduce the risk of food allergy. And that's important because the other risk factors for food allergy, things like genetics and environment, you have no control over. But as parents, the only thing we can do to reduce the baby's risk of food allergy is to introduce allergenic foods early and often. So I would prioritize the allergenic foods and I would ramp it up. A 9-month-old baby should be eating 2 to 3 times a day. If you can do 3 times a day, great. Because the more practice your baby has, the more progress they will make with the textures, with the flavors, with the learning how to chew and eventually swallow. So around the 9-month mark, theoretically, babies should be getting about half of their nutrition from food. So take a look at your baby situation. Is that happening? If not, let's ramp up the practice with the food. Let's get aggressive as they get better at dropping a milk feed, because a baby who is full of milk is not going to feel the casual hunger that older babies need in order to be able to respond to those feelings by satiating themselves with food. So you can just speed it up a little bit with lots of extra practice, but you're certainly not too late. But we do know, again, that those babies that have had the least amount of practice with finger foods are at elevated risk for choking. We don't want your baby in feeding therapy because they can't handle different textures at 11 or 12 months of age.
I'm curious, too, and I don't know if we want to go down that road because maybe it could be a long one. But as far as breastfeeding goes, you talked about infant feeding, so formula or breastfeeding your baby, and weaning being like we're going to get away from that at some point and get them onto that solid food without the breast milk. What are your recommendations? Because I come from the land of, you know, talking with a lot of lactation consultants, international board certified lactation consultants, and there is kind of this adage, and it's food before one is just for fun. In other words, breast milk is complete and just what your baby needs, that if you decide to choose to do foods before 1 year of age, that that's great and it's fun, but it's not necessary. But what I'm hearing from you is that it's not only could be necessary, but really beneficial. And so I, if you're up for that conversation, I'd love to hear kind of what your take is on that.
Well, certainly. And breast milk is certainly sufficient to meet 100% of your baby's needs up until 6 months of age. So as a registered dietitian, I do take issue with the statement food before one is just for fun, kind of a double-edged sword. I like that statement in the sense that I want you to have fun feeding your baby, trying these new foods and watching their reaction and seeing them learn how to eat. That should be fun. On the other hand, that saying food before one is just for fun, that implies that the types of food that we're choosing for our baby doesn't matter, and it certainly does. We know that baby starts to lose the iron stores that they receive from mom at the tail end of pregnancy around the 6 month mark. So as much as I respect the work of lactation consultants and IBCLCs, they have certainly been trained to some degree in nutrition to know at 6 months of age, we need to be supplementing with solid foods that provide an external source of iron. Because while breast milk is not a good source of iron, it does contain iron, and that iron is very, very well absorbed by the baby's body. Again, it just up until 6 months of age. Now, there's not a light switch that magically flicks at 6 months and, oh my gosh, now all the iron needs to be coming from food. But we definitely need to start practicing offering babies foods that contain iron, because as we go through the weaning process and baby starts getting less of their nutrition from the breast milk, they're going to be getting more of it from food. And some of those foods need to contain iron, as well as other nutrients like vitamin C, which helps the baby absorb iron. So I want you guys to have fun offering your baby foods, but at around the 6 month age, we do need to offer foods for a variety of different reasons, only one of which is nutrition. And if you continue to decide to breastfeed beyond 12 months of age, congratulations and wonderful for you. But by 12 months of age, most of your baby's nutrition should be coming from food, with a small amount of it coming from either breast milk, or if you're formula feeding, we discontinue formula at 12 months of age and you can transition to whole milk, cow's milk.
Awesome. Thank you. I really appreciate you taking a moment to talk about that. Also, I want to hear more about your programs, what you offer, if you want to dive a little bit deeper into your offerings for what you have for the listeners that I have here who are pregnant and postpartum. I want to hear all about that.
We get so many pregnant moms who are on our free workshops each week. And I'm like, how are you so organized that you haven't even like had the baby yet, right? And you're already learning about feeding the baby? Like, I want to do it before the baby comes. So that's wonderful. If you are interested in learning more about baby-led weaning, I do teach a free 1 hour video workshop every week called Baby-Led Weaning for Beginners. It's all about how to get your baby to eat 100 different foods without you having to spoon feed purees or buy pouches. So again, we just redid the workshop. It's a little bit longer than an hour now. We expanded the Q&A portion. If you guys still have questions at the end, we respond to every question. And I also give everybody on that free video workshop, they get a copy of my 100 first foods list, because I never want you guys to run out of ideas that your baby can eat. So you can sign up for this week's workshop times at babyledweaning.co. Again, that website is babyledweaning.co. Take the workshop, get the 100 first foods list. And I also introduce you to more of my paid programs inside of that free workshop if you want all the info on how to make the different foods safe and how to be part of our baby-led weaning community, because it is a very positive and uplifting community. And one thing that most parents say is when they finish the 100 First Foods approach, they said, that's the best decision that I ever made as a parent. And the one thing I don't have to struggle with is mealtime, because mealtime can be painful for some of the families. And our goal is to eliminate that by helping your baby establish a healthy relationship with food from their first bite.
That's amazing. You are also on social media. So you mentioned your website, but you're on social media and you have a podcast. So will you let me know those two? And then for those that are listening, all of this, the links for everything will be in the show notes and the email you get this week.
So we are on Instagram at Baby Led Wean Team. And I have a podcast called Baby-Led Weaning Made Easy. We put out 2 episodes each week. On Mondays, I do a mini baby-led weaning training. On Thursday, I always interview a credentialed feeding expert about lots of different topics related to feeding your baby. We also have a YouTube channel where we put out multiple videos a week if you like to kind of see more about how to prep the foods. And again, my name is Katie Ferraro, but Baby-Led Wean Team on Instagram is probably the best place to get started. And you can also sign up for that workshop I was mentioning via the links in our bio there.
Well, thank you so much for your time and your expertise today. I really appreciate it. And I know it's going to serve many, many women to come. So thank you.
Well, thank you for covering this topic, because I think it's an important one for parents to know about if they are interested in this baby-led approach to starting solid foods.
That's it for this week, but make sure you subscribe to the podcast so that you get notifications first as I drop new episode every week. And don't forget to head over to myessentialbirth.com for all of the free downloads mentioned here and to join the birth course and community serving pregnant moms just like you. If you enjoyed this and other episodes, I would love it if you would take a few minutes to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. I read every single one and include one at the beginning of each episode. See you next week.